Excellent. Okay, today is Tuesday, March 8, 2022. I'm Lois Pollack, the chair for the Independent Audit and Performance Commission Code Enforcement Subcommittee. And I'd like to start the meeting with a roll call of the commission members that are present.
Okay, Ward 4, Mr. Andrews.
Here.
Ward 5, Mr. Clark.
Here.
Ward 6, Ms. Pollack.
Here.
Madam Chair, you do have a quorum.
Excellent. You know, first thing we're going to do is the approval of the February 18 subcommittee meeting minutes. Has everybody had time to read through those? And is there a motion to accept the meeting minutes as drafted?
Madam Chair, Brian Andrews, I move that we accept these minutes as they are presented.
Okay.
Second.
Okay, second from Mr. Clark. All right. And all in favor of accepting the draft meeting minutes from the last meeting, say aye.
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 Aye. Okay. If they've been passed to accept the meeting minutes. Okay. The next order of business is a discussion of case review process. And all of what Mr. Williams has been giving us. Before I do that, I'd like to go through and have people that are extra on the call who are from the city introduce themselves so we all know who's present. So we've got somebody. I'm not sure how to do that.
Good morning. This is Martin Romero, Supervisor for Code Enforcement.
Morning, Martin.
Good morning. Lori is in court today, so she will not be able to be joining us today.
No problem. Who else is Martin? What phone number? The last four digits are your phone number.
3777.
Okay, and I don't see yours on there. So there's one ending. There's one ending in 3175, and that looks like it might be you.
It's probably the general line.
Yeah. And there's another one ending in 5843.
And that's going to be my administrative assistant.
Adriana?
Yes, ma'am.
Adriana, and what's her last name?
Ortiz.
Okay. And it's Adriana, right?
Ariana.
Ariana. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, great. Okay, Ariana. And then there's some, and then I think that's it because Commissioner Andrews, you're ending in 1-4. Yeah. Okay, got it. Okay, so now that we know who's on the call, let's just start discussing the list that we all got. So maybe, Aaron, you could go over how you generated the sample cases. So we all received a list of 101 cases, I believe. And if you could talk about how that was generated, that would be helpful.
Absolutely, Madam Chair, members of the Commission, I'll go ahead and share my screen. We have two things we could look at. We could start by looking at the total number of cases and the sample, or we can start by looking at the audit scope to kind of frame the criteria. What you'll probably want to do at this agenda item is decide the criteria you're going to look at, and that will help guide you on what fields might be useful in the sample and which fields might not be useful in the sample.
Yeah, I figure we could get to that maybe after we could do it before and after. Figure out, what's in that list.
I'll go ahead and share my screen.
Okay, perfect.
Okay, can everybody see Excel up on your screen?
Yes.
Okay, I'll walk you through this quickly. Feel free to interrupt. I won't be able to see any raised hands since the screen is being shared. Okay, what we have is we received a download of all of the cases from 2021 for code enforcement. From there, we did a random number and then sampled based on the percentage of the cases so that our sample would represent the same percentage. So what you'll see on your screen now should be a pivot table that shows the count of total cases in the population, the percentage that that represents, and then that led to the number of cases sampled. As you remember in the previous meetings, with the error rate and acceptable range, we ended at about 100 to make it representative of all the different ones. We actually have a sample of 101. What you have here in the highlighted yellow that you received is what that sample represents. But again, we can adjust this depending on how your discussion goes. What you'll see in column A is the case number. B is going to be the opened date. C is the area. D is the type of case. And I do believe we provided a crosswalk on what those codes mean. E, F, and G are the street locations and directions. H is the status. I is the ward number. J is the initial inspection date. And C, K is the citations issued date.
Okay, great. And I'd like to look at, so it looks like the dates, you know, they're all in 2021 that they were opened. And that looks like it's a pretty good cross-section of dates. Areas. Martin, could you tell us what the area is? So you've got CE12, then you've got ODE, and what is an ODE and a CE12 or 16? I know we talked about areas before.
Right, so the CE represents the individual inspector. Typically, so we would have, in the past, we had anywhere up to 16 inspectors. So, and IT has asked us to keep those numbers because it was more difficult to change them over as we lose inspectors. Right now, I only have 9 inspectors, but the inspectors kept their same number. As far as the OD, that's Operations Division. You have Operations Division East, West, South, and Midtown. That's for TPD. Those are cases, the J&B cases, junked or inoperable motor vehicles, or the weed cases that CSR or CSOs were helping us with.
Okay, so ODS is Operation Division South, ODW is Operation Division West. Okay. Got it. Does that make sense to the commissioners? Any questions so far?
No questions. That makes sense.
Okay. Then in the list, we've got the address. That's pretty straightforward. The type. So we've got column D is the type, CFIR, EMER, ENVI. Martin, could you, some of them are obvious, but other ones aren't. Could you tell us about that?
Okay. Madam
Chair, I have it pulled up on the screen. It's the proposed tab of the sheet that you received. We'll have
a
crosswalk here.
Okay. So it's got, over on the right-hand side. Okay, got it. Okay, so we have that. And now the status, compliant means compliant, and it's closed.
Correct.
Okay. And referred, just for everybody's knowledge, referred means what?
Referred would indicate that case has, let's say for Operations Division East, it came in as a weed case, and we refer it to the Operations Division East because it's a, we open up our case here, and then we give it to whatever division is in that area for their inspections. Or it can also indicate if we keep it here, and we have a similar complaint for the same address that was called in at a different time, the CSR might have opened the case in error. The customer service representative would have opened the case in error and not look at the system to show that we already have an open case and might already be in court, or the inspector is already addressing it.
Okay. So now I think at the last meeting, one of the last two meetings, Mr. De La Torre was saying that code enforcement has taken back a lot of cases from TPD. Is that right? So now the referred ones, is that correct, or does TPD still have some of these cases?
Madam Chairman, so that is correct. All TPD is currently at this time only taking over or still has the junk or inoperable vehicles. We're still referring those cases to them. As far as the weed complaints, code enforcement has taken them all back.
Okay. They just, so for instance, on line 16, there's a case and it says weed, and then it says referred. Are you guys going back in and updating these to pending or compliant or whatever they might be, and you just haven't gotten to all of them?
That's correct. We haven't got, there's hundreds of them that came back. I'm currently right now asking the inspectors to work overtime so we can catch up on some of these older cases, weedy cases that we never received any information back from TPD.
Okay. I'm not sure who that is.
It's Mr. Clark. Mr. Clark, you're getting a feedback loop. You might be on your phone and computer.
Oh, I see. Okay, so he's still logged in. Got it. Okay. All right. Well, thanks for those explanations. And so I'm not sure if I'm just going to start out with what comments. Another concern I had about looking at the sample cases where there are 23 out of 100 that are no verify. So can you fill us in, Martine, as to what no verify means?
Yes, ma'am. So a no verify would indicate if a complaint was called in for illegal storage in the front yard, trash and debris in the front yard, the inspector goes out to the property, and if he doesn't find any, or they don't find any storage in the front yard, we list that as a no verify. Or if it's any type of a minimum housing complaint, the AC is not working, and we would go out to the property and verify that it might not be an AC unit. It's a swamp cooler. This is the reason why the individual might feel that it's not working because of the humidity.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
It can also indicate if the wrong address was actually given. That
okay.
happens quite often. often. That happens more than not.
Okay, and you wouldn't really know that, because
we
just
look out there. Yes, yeah. Ma'am. Either way, we have to physically go out to the property.
Okay. All right. I know for a little while, and this is probably related to particular individuals. I'm not saying any one particular one, but for a little while, sometimes they would go out in our neighborhood and it was something simple that could be fixed, I think, and they would call it and they'll verify if they talked to the homeowner and they got it fixed or something. But I think that practice stopped. I'm just not exactly sure when. Okay, so could be the wrong address.
It could be the wrong address, ma'am. And sometimes it is in our manual that if we can have communication with the property owner, that verbal communication, if they can address it as we are there or within that day, that would be a justification for placing a case as no verify.
Okay.
And it does state that in our manual also.
Okay. And do they put, like, I know we're just seeing a tiny bit and we're going to see records, the whole record, later. Do they write notes if that happened? Like, property owner was there and addressed the issue when at the time that we arrived?
I would prefer that they do. Sometimes our connectivity with the computers and we're on the VDI system, it doesn't allow it for whatever reason. So sometimes they can't just because their laptops aren't working in the field.
Okay, I see. Okay. And then I was a little concerned when I saw the list that there are only two cases that had citations issued. And it's not that far off. I think I went back and looked at Mr. De La Torre's numbers that he gave us at the last meeting. He said there were 8,936 cases in 2021, 520 went to court, 384 citations. And so when I did the math on that, it would have been 4 cases that we would have seen with citations instead of the 2 that were in the list. So I just wanted to bring that up, but it wasn't quite proportional. And we might later want to add a couple more court cases just to see how those looked.
Madam Chair, if you look at your total, so I know you were going off of Mr. De La Torre's verbal, but if you look at the population, it's slightly less than what Mr. De La Torre said. So on your population tab, you should be able to see it. Percentage-wise, it comes out to like 2.8, so basically 3 cases. You have a sample of 2, so you can always add another one if the commission so desires.
Okay, great. And then one other note I had. I think that was it for, I was, like I said, my biggest concern is I've got 23% with no verify. And I'm not sure if we need to add other cases that are, not that these didn't go through a process, but they went through a very brief process, unlike other ones. So maybe just I would keep that in mind when we look at all the cases we have, whether we need to take additional samples. Because
Madam Chair, if I could interject once more.
Sure.
Knowing that there was concern with that, I prepared an additional sheet that did not go out. I added another tab to give you a rough idea in case you do want to discuss the no verifies. So what you see on the screen here is your total population by the type, and then by the status, so that you can gauge how many no verifies are actually in the total population, because that could be something that you want to look at. So your percentage of no verifies in L, M, and N will show you your no verify percentage in column N based on the type, and then at the bottom based on the whole population. So in the population of 8,814, there are 2,061 classified as a status of no verify, which is 23.3%. In case you want a discussion that way, we can slice and dice the data as you see fit. So we do have that prepared today.
Okay, perfect. All right, so now Commissioner Clark or Commissioner Andrews, what comments do you have about the sampling data so far? And then we're gonna, after this, we're gonna move on to looking back at the statement of work that we got for the commission.
Madam Chairman?
Yeah.
This is Clark. I never got the section that explained what the type was, the cross-reference. Oh.
It's in the, I didn't think I had it either. It's in the, it's a whole workbook. So if you open up the entire file in Excel, you'll see four tables at the bottom.
Ah.
I didn't notice it either, truthfully. And on the proposed tab, you'll see, on the right-hand side, you'll see all the different types of cases.
Oh,
is that what
you.
That
yeah.
What you're looking for? Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I never saw that, so.
Yeah, I didn't either. I just kind of looked at the table there. Any questions about the data? And Mr. Commissioner Andrews, do you have any questions about the data so far?
I don't have any questions. I think the sampling method resulted in a great cross-section matching all the criteria that we had mentioned in our prior meeting for looking at cases, you know, and aside from tweaking something one way or another to match the commission's individual preferences, this looks like a really good cross-section that will give us good data with which to work.
Excellent. Yeah, I was pretty surprised, actually, at how well it did. Yeah. So that's good to see. So now I think everybody got an email. It just has the code enforcement audit scope and objectives. It's originally dated, I think it's dated April 5 of 2021 is when it was approved. And this is a, so Aaron, could you pull up that
example? It should be on screen, Madam Chair.
Perfect, just so everybody knows we're all looking at the same thing. So this originally came about at the beginning of the subcommittee meeting process in order to identify what it was we were looking for, what the objectives are. And it began, I think, with a email from the Ward 3 council person. And then we developed this scope and objectives from that email and some other things. We also looked at the code enforcement policy book, you know, their work instructions, and are taken that into consideration, plus the scope of what it is they do at code enforcement and what their task to audit. So now I guess we're going to try to. Does anybody have any questions about the scope? I mean, there's a lot of there's a lot of information in here. And I believe we've done quite a bit of work on getting through some of this. And so now we've done all the background data, I think, on how the department operates and everything they're doing and types of cases. And we've interviewed code enforcement people and gone out and looked at, you know, addresses and code cases. And we've gotten a lot of information. And now we can actually take a look at these cases and try and make some summaries, the summary of each case, and then try to take that information and summarize it all into some results, whether they are following or whether they always follow the code enforcement manual or if there's sometimes deviations for some reason, and whether it's effective. Does anybody have any questions so far about the scope? Reviewing that again?
No questions, Madam Chair.
Not here.
Okay, great. Okay, so now, how do we want to split up these cases? And then we can also work on our data collection device, which is probably going to be this via spreadsheet, with some information from each case that we can all collect and write down. So I don't know if we just want to split this up into wards. There's three of us and there's six wards, so we possibly could take, each of us could take two wards. Or I don't know if the numbers work out, if it's that simple. It might, let's see, wards one and two are 36, so that's more than 25. And
it's basically... Basically there, Ward 1 is going to be 18, Ward 2, let's see, is going to be 17, Ward 3, Ward 3 is 13. Ward 4 is 13. Ward 5 is 25. And Ward 6 is 14.
Okay, so, I'm not sure about that part. Commissioners, what ideas do you have about how we want to split this up? Because you could do it by type, you could do it by ward, you could do this by just the first 25 and the next 25 and the next 25. So I don't know, do you have any thoughts on this?
Madam Chair, Brian Andrews, I was looking at this and thinking that our goal is that each of us have a good perspective of these cases relative to our audit objectives. And to pick these about, if we do it linearly and take a third, a third, and a third off the list, about the only thing that would be different among the group of the subcommittee is the date. We'd end up with, you know, different quarters basically, or thirds of the year, but we would get a good mix of cases in all wards of all types. And I think that would allow us to have a more productive and comprehensive discussion when we put our report together, if we each look at a complete and thorough mix of these cases as they've been put on this spreadsheet.
Okay, so each of us would look at some from every ward. And each of us would want to look at all of the different types of cases.
And I would think that would equip us to discuss and create the report with each of us having a similar knowledge of how code enforcement has been functioning over the course of the year.
Okay. So, let me get that straight though. So each of us could look at a sample from each ward, and then within all of our samples, 33 of them or so, we have a cross-section of the different types, whether it was weeds or JMVs or whatever they all are, the type that's in column D, illegal dumping, you know. Is that what you're thinking? We each get a cross-section?
That is, and in fact, just looking at it, I don't see where it would not give us each the same type of cases and the same information to evaluate if we would simply take rows, you know, 2 through 31 and 32 through 63 and
oh, okay.
Just divide them up a third, and a third.
Oh, okay. Just go straight from the top and divide it down that way. Okay. Yeah, I didn't.
And I was just going to say the only difference that we'd each have is we'd each see different parts of the year. One of us would be seeing the first third of the year, one the middle third, and cases from the last third. But I don't know that that would skew the data that we would glean and come away with for preparation of a report.
Actually, the dates look like they're pretty well spread out. There's not so many in Q1 on the list at all, but it's 2, 3, and 4. So yeah, that doesn't look too bad if you look through the whole list there.
Okay. I have a question on that.
Sure.
The dates would cover periods of time when COVID was rampant. Would that have any effect on the outcome?
I'm gonna turn that one over to Martine. Can you tell us how different it was during the worst of the COVID times? I mean, I know code enforcement was still operating.
Yes, Madam Chairman, it's Martine. So we were still operating, but it did affect us substantially. We promoted and I really instructed the inspectors not to enter houses if at all possible due to the COVID. And we just don't know the nature of individual property owners of the way they live. We would ask them to not to really enter any type of properties. So we're basically limited on the information that we gathered because it couldn't be verified by the inspector unless they put their themselves in a position where they did enter the property.
Okay. Would that only be for like minimum housing? Let me look at these over here. So those would have been things that were indoors.
Indoors or any type of like a homeless camp, homeless activity in the alley area where they would, the homeless would, start fires or just camp out in somebody's alley and or easement. We any type of peddler activity. any type of contact where we had to make some type of contact with the individual, we really we limited our inspections.
Okay. I think we'll still get a really good look, and maybe we make a notation in the report we end up with that, you know, there could have been some impact on certain types of cases due to COVID, and what Martine is saying about inspectors not being able to enter homes. They may not have. I mean, it was probably sometimes up to the inspector, or they couldn't go into homeless camp situations because of that.
Yes, Madam Chairman, one more thing I'd like to point out. So we did actually have, and we still currently do have our inspectors telecommuting. So they limit their time in the office right now. We have a schedule of times that they can or cannot have access to the office. And that kind of, it hurts the inspectors in a few different ways. One, they don't have the ability to print at home because we don't have our portable printers. Some inspectors are using their own equipment where pre-COVID, they have access to all of our city equipment here in the office. The communication between the inspectors has gone down. The face-to-face communication because of the COVID, and just that interaction of how would you handle this case, or please give me an idea on this case with one another. That was really important to the inspectors, and it really helped them grow. And right now they're basically limited on the communication between interaction amongst their own peers.
When are you guys, I know that was the case when we went out on our tag-alongs with the inspectors. When are you guys expecting to go back to being in the office again?
We haven't received any direction from the manager's office at this time, so we're still telecommuting.
Okay. So yeah, that's something to keep in mind. So if I remember correctly, some things that, what types of things mm-hmm. did they print? So they get the cases on their laptops, but this is just for Commissioner Clark too. They are, because that system that they're using only can use printers that are owned by the city, if I remember right.
Yes.
In order to print anything, they have to go into the office to print it. And so I think you guys were on a once a week people were going able to go in. Is it more than that? Martine?
Matt? Madam Commissioner, right now we've adjusted the schedule, modified it some, so they actually have access to the office twice a week for up to 3 hours per session. The inspectors, most of the inspectors, if not all of them, would always print out their cases, and they would use that printout from Permits Plus as their tablet to write notes on, because they would write their notes and come into the office and log it into to Permits Plus. So right now, since they can't, and if the system goes down, sometimes they don't they're not sure on what cases are more of a higher priority versus others. The inspectors have gotten. They've gotten a little used to this, and so they're better at managing their caseloads. And if I have to send them off as a diversion to look at other cases because of a ward complaint, the manager's office, or I'm just receiving a call from my directors, we physically call them up immediately to look at a certain property. But we print out notices of violation. They print out, sometimes they'll print out maps. Any type of correspondence that's related to a certain case. They miss the printer, actually. They really do. It's just something that they don't have access, as much access to it, right, as they did in the past.
Hey Martine, can I interject real quick?
Please.
Just an idea as I hear you going through it. I know it doesn't have to do with the commission meeting, but it only take a minute. What I use, I also have to do a lot of field work. Your permits plus is loaded on the inspector's laptops, right? So they can access it.
Yes, sir.
Okay. What I do is when I'm out in the field, think about all the rec centers that we have across the city. Since all the printers are networked now, I can stop into a rec center with my laptop when I'm doing field work, and I can send my print jobs to that rec center's printer. It kind of takes it where I don't always have to go all the way to City Hall to be able to do my printouts. Your inspectors might be able to do that when they're out in the field. They can stop in a rec center, say we need to access a computer and use your printer. There should be no problem with it. And if you run into any issues, you can just let me know and I'll help you with those roadblocks.
Thank you. And I'll definitely pass that on. I know a few of our other inspectors have done something similar at the ward offices, but I'll definitely pass that on. Thank you.
Okay, so that kind of gives us an idea of the challenges that the inspectors have had. And I mean, that's probably been going on since late 2020, and it's still going on now. So again, it's probably just something to keep in mind for when we create the report, those challenges that they've had, which could potentially be improved on. Okay, so I guess next thing we need to do is talk about what data we're going to collect when we're looking at these cases and create some kind of a spreadsheet or data collection sheet that we can all use. So when we pull up our cases, what we're going to be collecting information on. So at a minimum, we would want to have everything that's in columns A through K. And then start looking at the particular case and to see what other information is in there. Now, we haven't looked at any of these We haven't looked in Permits Plus to see what's actually in there to know what other information there might be. So, for instance, the top one isn't a good one. So it says the case was opened on 5/21. So I'm looking at line item 2 on the spreadsheet. The case was opened on 5/21. And it was a CFIR. It was a fire at a commercial. Okay. It was a fire at a commercial building. And so I guess that one would have been compliant on 5/21. And so we need, that would be an example of, you know, looking at what they did do. How can we look at Permits Plus and see what's actually in there? So we can see what other information we might be able to collect.
Madam Chair, it might be useful to kind of set your criteria for what you want to collect, and then we can see if it's available in Permits Plus, because there could be lots of things that you don't need. If you just pick from, right, from what they have, you might not be reaching the end result that you want to get.
Okay.
So
we'd have to.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
For, for example, if you wanted to look at timeliness, you might be looking at the open date versus the initial inspection date for the time that it took from a complaint to come in to when it was first touched. If you're looking for efficiencies or process, you might use the code enforcement handbook and then sample your case and look at whatever out of the handbook that you want to verify. So if you set your boundaries, you might be able to, we can kind of design what your criteria is to look at.
Yeah, because it's going to be all kinds of dates. So whatever is in that handbook. So for instance, if you open the case, what's aside from these emergencies, because they're a little different, when you open a case, what's the next step? Does a postcard or a letter go out to the owner slash resident? And then there's a visit that is X amount of days from the time either the case was opened or the postcard or letter was sent. And then there's going to be some kind of agreed upon follow-up date. And then, yeah, so we want to look at all those dates to see if, and, you know, if there's some kind of agreed upon follow-up date, it wouldn't be in the handbook per se, but it would be the date that it was agreed to be done. So then we'd want to be looking at whether there was a second visit, and there will be, to see if it's actually cleared up. And then if there was additional visits, how many, and then maybe the whole time span, you know, what is the time from initial identification or opened, the case was open, to the time that it actually is considered to be closed. And then if it's still open, we would want to be putting, you know, the status of still open, pending or whatever. So yeah, we don't have any of that kind of thing on this spreadsheet to look at. So that would be part of it. And then we'd be bouncing the times against the policy manual if it had times in there for certain things.
So code enforcement staff, is that something that the Chairperson Pollack described? If we have the commissioners, if we grant them access to Permits Plus, do you think it would take a staff member to sit with them to help them navigate? And if so, is there available space to do that? I know Martine's phone was ringing, so maybe he's not on the call.
I just got back on. Sorry, okay. We had an emergency we had to deal with.
That's okay.
As far as you will need assistance navigating, Permits Plus is different from Pro. There's a lot more information, of course. Yeah. We do have areas that I'll have to... We can figure it out how to help individuals navigate through Permits Plus here at Fort Park in Ajo. I don't see that as a problem. It's just we'll be limited on their possibly laptops. I'd have to take a look because typically all the inspectors take home their laptops, and that's how they log into Permits Plus. So they don't keep them here in the office. We have a couple available for our Teams meetings or Zoom meetings and different meeting rooms that can be utilized. But I'm not sure if Permits Plus is loaded on there, but I'm pretty sure we can talk with IT and get that taken care of.
Now, we could also use possibly the Word Office conference rooms. If we're just looking for a location. I guess, you know, I, Mr. Commissioner Clark, do you have a copy of the code enforcement manual? Did you get a copy of that? Code enforcement procedure manual? Because you'll need a copy of that.
I can resend it to all the commissioners just in case, since I'm not hearing any verification.
Yeah. Yeah, why don't you do that, please? And because we're going to need to I think we're going to need to review that again. Commissioner Andrews, do you have any suggestions on, other than dates, what other information we may be wanting to pick up when we look at these cases?
I don't have any particular suggestions right now. In looking at our audit objectives and how to compare it to what we'll be screening for at the moment.
Okay. So I think we should start with the dates. When it got, because Martine, you guys don't know when something got reported, right? You only know when it got entered.
That's correct, madam.
Yeah. And so it may be days later, maybe the same day, or it may be days later before a report gets entered. So we can't do that one. But I would suggest making a spreadsheet right now with dates. So it would be the date it got initiated, which you have that, the date, and the next thing that occurs is some kind of notification to the property owner, right, by mail.
Madam Chairman, it could be by mail, could be in person, a hand delivered notice, or it could be by or there might be research that requires us to actually look for the property owner.
Right. So, because when I'm looking through this procedure manual, does it? I thought it talked about in here that the property owner was notified by mail, but it's not, is that the case? So can you just run us through that real quick? So somebody calls or an email comes in through the online system or notification, it gets entered into Permits Plus, and then what was the next little step there?
Madam Chairman, so the property owner is on site while we're conducting the inspection, and if we can actually issue a notice of violation to the property owner, let's say for exterior violation, the inspector would do it. What that does, it starts their the clock a lot sooner than it would be as far as mailing, because we allow the up to 10 days for mailing.
Uh-huh. So, but the process is not to do a mailing to the property owner right after you get the notice from somebody who turned it in?
No, Madam Chairman, we would have to verify the complaint first prior to notifying the property owner. If the violation is verified, that's what we would start to try looking for the property owner.
Okay. So I think what we need to do is probably we all need to go back through and read the manual again. And I've got to look at my notes on everything that we were told during, during the interviews, basically, as to what the process was in order to get the dates straight that we're going to be seeing in the system. And so it would be helpful, though, to be able to look at. Well, I don't know if we need, you know, you hate to have another meeting before you start taking the data. But if we're all just starting to look at these cases, we all may go off in a slightly different direction. So we need to pin down the information that we're going to be collecting. And you can't show us permits plus today. You don't have that ability to open up one of these cases and show us what's in there.
Madam Chairman, I do not right now. I called in.
Okay.
So I apologize for that.
Okay. No, that's fine. Commissioners, does it sound like a good idea that we'll want to at least look at a couple of cases together before we and see what we're seeing in there so we can nail down what data it is we want to collect? Or do we strictly, you hate to do that. You hate to just turn everybody loose on their own without nailing down exactly what everybody's going to look at. Then we might have to go back and relook at something. What ideas do you guys have on that?
Madam Chair, I think that would be helpful so that we all have the same understanding of the things we'll be looking at. Just another thought, as I was looking at our objectives, all of the items in the code enforcement objectives under item 3 appear to really apply to what we'll be looking at with these individual cases. And maybe we can talk about how we would apply those as we review these cases and come up with a common way to list all those things that we find as we look at each of the how these cases were handled.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds like a good thing to do. Just see if what we're seeing we can align it with these objectives. Okay. And so maybe we could do that in the next week or two if everybody has some availability. And maybe Aaron could send out a notice, and then we could get somebody to from code enforcement to walk us through a few cases and permits plus. And that would be our jumping off point. And then, so if the commissioners could think about from looking at the scope, and by looking at the information we know so far about what Permits Plus probably has in it, if you could make maybe like a preliminary spreadsheet of what you think we're going to be collecting, and then we can just, you know, modify that when we get to the next meeting, and then we'll come up with one that everybody's using. Does that sound feasible?
That seems reasonable, Madam Chair. And then I'll offer to Aaron, I do have the code enforcement manual that you gave to us earlier in the audit process.
Yeah, and I have it too. Commissioner Clark, do you have the code enforcement manual? I'm not sure if he's still on the call. Commissioner Clark?
He might have dropped off. I'm not seeing his
phone. Yeah, I don't see his name was on here before, but I don't see it on here now. Okay, maybe you could just email it to Commissioner Clark just to make sure he's got it, because we both have it.
Yes, okay. I have it pulled up. I'm sending him the email now.
Okay, great. So the next meeting, we'd like to look at Permits Plus and a few of the sample cases that we have, go over, create a spreadsheet that we're all going to use based on, or and have it tie into the code enforcement scope. And we'll nail that down, and then we can just separate out, you know, the cases. And I think it probably doesn't matter how we separate them out. But the idea of each of us getting, you know, 33 or 34 of them, that'll work. And then we'll be off and running on that. And Aaron, you're going to send us an email to find out everybody's availability in the next week or two. That would be great.
Correct. Martine, who should I coordinate for the permits plus walkthrough? Is that you?
You could coordinate with either myself or Lori Pumphrey.
Okay.
If I'm not sure, you could send us both an email, and we'll get it scheduled, sir.
I know for myself, I'm not available next week. So it would be the week after, but I don't know about everybody else. And let's see here. So we are going to look at our agenda, which I have here somewhere. Okay. So if we're kind of tied that up a little bit. I think the next agenda item on the schedule here is future agenda items. And commissioners, do you have any other future agenda items at this point in time?
I don't have any additional agenda items, thank you.
Okay, great. I don't have any either. So I'd like, does anyone on the call have any additional questions or comments or anything? If not, okay, perfect. If not, I'd like to adjourn the meeting. And thank you very much for attending. We always appreciate everybody who can attend.
Thank you.
It's very, very, very helpful.
Thank you to staff.
Yes, sir.
Yes, thank you.
Good day.
You too.